Howdy, neighbors. Good morning, everybody. Feature time, Ron Hayes with you today here on KGGF. National Association of Farm Broadcasting, the Washington Watch fly-in was held this week up in our nation's capital. Our own Casey Shepherd was there, and she was there when the group had a chance to interact with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. Mr. Vilsack was asked about the Emergency Relief Program, the ERP program. We'll get his defense of how ERP was handled by USDA in 2022 in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff, join us today, Heather Buckmash with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, let's talk about the latest on consumer market research.
Absolutely, Ron. Insights from our consumer market research funded by the Beef Checkoff shed light on consumer behavior around today's environment. Despite the economic challenges, the percentage of consumers eating beef at least weekly held steady at 70% in 2023. The research also shows 65% of consumers plan to maintain their level of beef consumption, while 14% plan to eat more. This is good news for beef and is not surprising, since overall satisfaction scores of steaks and ground beef were above 90% in 2023, which is excellent. However, despite these promising insights, consumer purchasing data shows a decline in volume sold. This tells us that people want to eat beef, but when the rubber meets the road, they may be influenced by the challenging economic environment. So part of our efforts in 2024 will focus on showing them how to keep beef on the menu for their families.
Thanks, Heather. To learn more about the Beef Checkoff, you can go to drivingdemandforbeef.com. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall has sent a letter to the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Agriculture and also has introduced legislation that would address concerns of USDA's emergency relief payment program handling, especially in 2022. Secretary Tom Vilsack responding to questions about that pushback by the senator and says USDA did what they could with the money they had.
It seems to me that emergency relief is designed to try to provide help and assistance to those who have been impacted by disaster. And, of course, we've had a wide range of disasters over the last couple of years, and that has impacted and affected the bottom line for producers. Producers who are very large in scale obviously have losses, but they also are the beneficiaries of the current structure and system. They are the ones who get a disproportionate amount of the farm income. They are the ones who benefit most directly from crop insurance and the indemnities that were paid through crop insurance. The folks who are really struggling, the folks who are on the edge, are the small and mid-sized producers who don't necessarily get the lion's share of farm income and don't get full benefits, in some cases any benefits, from crop insurance because they're not in a position to be able to afford to purchase crop insurance. So for that reason, when disaster assistance is distributed, it makes sense to try to make sure that you keep as many people on the farm as you possibly can. Now, it's easy to do this, very easy to do, if Congress does its job. And by doing its job, it essentially balances the amount of money they're providing for emergency relief with the amount of relief that's needed. Now, they did that in 2021. We essentially told them in 2021, hey, the losses amounted to about $10 billion, and Congress appropriated $10 billion. So it was very easy to give everybody a sufficient amount of assistance. In 2022, we said the losses were somewhere between $10 and $12 billion. And I think the expectation on the countryside was that the amount of assistance that would be forthcoming would be roughly equivalent to what was received in 2021. The problem is Congress only appropriated $3 billion. So when you only give the department 30% of the need, or even less than 30% of the need, it makes it difficult to basically satisfy the expectations of folks out in the countryside. So what we attempted to do was to make sure that the folks who needed the help the most, the roughly 89% of 93% of farms that don't generate more than $500,000 in sales, that only got 11% of the income in a record farm year of income and received a significantly less percent of the crop insurance $19 billion of indemnities that were paid under the crop insurance program. So we tried to provide some additional assistance to them. The way we structured it, 82% of the producers received more money, 18% received a little bit less. And no doubt the folks who received less were perhaps operating under the false expectation that the amount they were going to get would be the same, very similar to what they got the year before. But you can't do what they got the year before when you got 30% of the money that you got the year before. We want to keep people on the farm. Congress is going to do what it's going to do, but I think we need to understand, and they need to understand, and Senator Marshall needs to understand, that the structure and system provides a lot of help to folks who are large. It doesn't provide as much help to folks who are small and mid-sized. And I'm not satisfied, and I don't know whether he is or not, but I'm not satisfied with losing 544,970 farms since I started representing farmers in the crisis of the 80s. That's a lot of farms we've lost, and we've lost a lot of farmland. And I think this country needs to wake up to the loss of these farms and to the loss of farmland, and that we need to ask some very serious questions about the structure of what we're doing in terms of giving people the opportunity to maintain their farming operation. Or the notion of get big or get out will be the driving philosophy, which I frankly don't agree with. I think we need to create entrepreneurial opportunities for folks. I think we need to create structures and systems that provide assistance to keep people on the farm. We've helped over 42,000 farmers who do business with the USDA in terms of loans because they can't often get loans from a commercial banking operation because they're on the edge. So we're the lender of last resort. And during a difficult period, sometimes folks get behind, and we try to provide some assistance and help. And the idea here is to keep people on the farm and to help them be more profitable. To be more profitable, our theory is you have to create more revenue streams. You can't just survive on the sale of corn and soybeans or sorghum or wheat or whatever you're growing or whatever you're raising, because you're raising a commodity, and a commodity has very low profit margins. So you, by the very nature of it, you have to produce a lot of it. And when you have to produce a lot of it, you have to have larger and larger farming operations in order to eke out the profit. And that's essentially the system we have right now. And I think it's been difficult for rural America because I think it has significantly reduced the population. The population has aged. The population is poor in many of those rural areas. And I think we have to be serious about this and address it.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. And thanks for joining us today for this feature time on the Mighty 690 KGGF. I'm Ron Hayes. Our team will be back with more farm news here in just a few moments.